find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
And if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink a super fucking soda, bad guys are a lot, and he will bring them in alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there is no one else who's
in. Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog plain in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final, and also to the found sheep of the house of Israel, the remnant to whom this message is really aimed at. Greetings. Now, this is episode number 68.5 of Thursday, May 5th, 2011. And the first two segments of the chat will be with Russ Walker, and then there'll be three more following. I had to go ahead and actually use TeamSpeak to go ahead and record one of them because I didn't do a very good job of keeping track of my MP3 player's battery level. But essentially, I think I'm going to call this, this 68.5, Osama and Edgar and Joy. Over three people who essentially got screwed by Zog. Now, Osama got the worst end of it, if you believe he actually was killed. I'm not quite sure. I don't believe anything that Zog tells me. Edgar got found guilty by a jury of Wiggers, most of them probably California refugees, to Idaho. And Joy Britton got screwed over by a crooked judge who decided to support her convicted child molester husband over herself because the crooked judge and the crooked lawyers want to believe that she's actually Aryan Nations when she's not. So folks, this system is altogether about maintaining power in order to destroy white people, in order to destroy the Israelites, the Israelite race. And as a result, you cannot rely on them to do anything other than what is evil. And they do evil continually. Now, I've been going ahead and looking at a number of debates and stuff like that. And you hear these people whining about niggers and whining about beaners and whining about Jews. And Jews are the spawn of Satan. But folks, what we need to understand is that what we have is we have a Wigger problem. We have, 300 million some humanoids or humamzeroids or whatever who ate being human beings. And probably we're down to about 130 million Wiggers or so. And folks, Wiggers want to die. Wiggers do stupid shit. And as a result, what you see as this country gets darker and darker and darker, you see less and less and less intelligence being displayed. And Yahweh having given us, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, the birthright that he promised Abraham. Essentially, God is no longer looking after us. Yahweh is not looking after us no more because we have disobeyed him. We have gone whoring after strange gods, strange Jew gods. We turned Christ into a Jew when Christ was the enemy of the Jew. He was the Son of Man who would bruise the Jew's head and they would murder him by using the Romans to do so. So folks, we have gotten away from Yahweh. And what is the only cure for that? And you have all these white nationalists, most of them, who are nothing more than Zog Asian provocateurs, or as I call them, Zogbots, running around screeching and screaming and whining and pissing and moaning about what is to be done, what is to be done. Well folks, there is nothing that can be done. What we need is we need a great tribulation, which will go ahead and kill all the MUDs. Kill, 160 million MUDs? kill a couple million Jews, kill these Mamzers, but most of all, we'll kill these Uyghurs. Uyghurs want to die. A Uyghur is like a zombie. He wants to go ahead and make sure the white people do die in his foolishness. Well, folks, there's nothing you can do with the Uyghur other than step aside and make sure that he gets what he wants, death, but that you don't. So, folks, if you have to do anything, you live and you let die. And I'll go ahead, and I've just had a notion of what to go ahead and play as one of the bumper musics. But, folks, we'll go ahead and actually do the theme song for this, which is Uyghur Problem. So, folks, stick by, and we'll go ahead and we'll have a pretty good show, and I'll get it up relatively recently. So, folks, hail victory. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crap. I wake up and right away, stupid Uyghurs come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build the top up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Uyghurs keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. Greetings, ogling, wigger, and mamster ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the pitiful few remnant of the found sheep of the house of Israel, those chosen seed of Israel's race, you who did hear the call. Welcome. This will be episode number 68. 0.5, I believe, of the Movement Turd. And today is May 5th, Stinkhole Day Mile of 2008, and it's around 8 o'clock Central Time, and I'm expecting a call from Russ Walker for this episode of Movement Turd. We have a very, very packed Movement Turd tonight. Essentially, a number of trials, or a number of court hearings turned out very bad. The biggest that turned out bad was that the poor Wigger Whimper got screwed. He got screwed, Jewed, and tattooed by Zog and by a jury of split-tail wiggers, mainly. And probably the one who supposedly was a male and genitalia only, essentially he might have been the little ringer that Zog put in there to make sure that it became a mistrial, but it looked like Edgar Steele, or the Wigger Whimper, as I call him, would be judged innocent. But second is of John Britton's daughter Joy, Luna Britton, and essentially I've been helping Joy out with her case against her Chomo ex-husband. And today was May 5th, and she was supposed to go ahead and get a notice, a rehearing. And essentially, the judge, who was a crook named David Kress, who was supposed to be a Mormon, was supposed to be honest, went ahead and ranted and raved and steamrolled Joy. Essentially, what happens is that Joy had gotten the name of her husband, Christopher Luna's, his first cousin, who he molested when she was 7 or 8, and now it's 11 years old later, and she's 18 and over. And essentially, Joy was simply asking for no custody for Chris, and that the Child Protective Services go ahead and do an investigation of this matter. And essentially, Joy Britton Luna, or Joy Britton, is a total sheephead. And she found another predator, just like sheep do. She found another predator to screw her. Anyway, it looks like Russ is on here. Hello, is this Russ?
Hey.
Okay, well, good for you. Essentially, I was talking about two major trials which went south, and we're also going to talk about poor old Osama bin subcontractor and whether or not he might have actually been the one who was killed. But we're going to talk about Edgar Steele, and we're going to talk about John Britton's daughter, Joy. I don't know if you've heard about her or not. Huh?
I only know a little bit about her.
A little bit about her. Do you know anything about Edgar Steele?
I just know he's in a jail in Spokane. That's really all I know about him. But I mean,
well, he's in jail in Ada County is where he's in jail at. He just went ahead and on day 7 or day 8, however you want to call it, a jury went ahead. Jury of wiggers of 11 split tails and one male and genitalia only went ahead and convicted the poor Wigger Whimper of plotting to blow up his wife with a pipe bomb, supposedly, and the crooked judge would not allow the testimony of their expensive audio. Two audio experts, he said that, hey, the tapes, not the tapes, but the digital recordings had been tampered with. And essentially, the judge, I think that they will definitely have a, bit of appeal, but old Edgar Steele, and I think he made a second mistake. The first mistake was hiring a lawyer. I don't think if you're being tried for something you didn't do, I don't think under any circumstances you should hire a lawyer. At all.
Well, they force a lawyer on you. That's what they do.
Well, they tried to force a lawyer on me.
I know.
I mean, on the other hand, I got 3.5 years illegally, 2.5, over 2.5 of them in the nut house because I refused a public pretender.
Anyway, are you on the air now? Get it
ready. Yeah, I'm on. I'm quote on the air. I'm recording it on MP3.
Okay.
Russ. So, in any case, you're doing okay tonight. This is May 5th, correct?
Yeah, it's here in North Carolina. It's cool. It only hit like 68 degrees today. For me, as far as I'm concerned, we've had cool weather.
Well, we have had cool weather. Three nights ago, it didn't quite frost, but I had to take my plants in just to make sure they didn't die. And it's sort of unusual to have a frost. usually your last frost is over by the second week of April here in southwest Missouri. But here you had the chance of frost as late as the past the 1st of May. And that's sort of unusual.
Now,
so much for global warming, huh?
One thing I would like to comment on, I think mm-hmm. I told you on the phone, but I've since researched it. The town of Cairo in Illinois is like 65% colored.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And it's probably, from what I understand, it's a bankrupt town. There's no industry. There's no production. Probably a bunch of characters on welfare. And
well, that's the case. That's the case all across the Zogland. There really is no more factory work or manufacturing jobs in America anymore.
Well, okay. I mean, look, I've not been in Cairo in 40 years, but I mean,
yeah.
I gather from what I can find on the internet, it's a sorry place. You know, it's like East St. Louis.
Well, not quite as bad as East St. Louis. I mean, you know, as I said before, if you go down Martin Luther King Boulevard at night, all you're going to see is eyeballs and teeth.
Well, that'd be crazy to go down there. But in any event, I think of what they did at Bowling Those Dykes up, that is absolute insanity. Absolute insanity. Because the farmers are white, they produce wealth.
They produce. Essentially, what happens is that 130,000 acres to save 35,000 niggers. You know what I mean? That works.
In any event, whatever it was.
Well, I remain niggers. Let's say 20,000 niggers. Essentially, 500 acres per nigger. I mean, essentially, I would say 5 acres is worth more than a nigger. Much less 500 of them, right?
In any event, it's just stupid. This was based on the potential that something might happen. Hey, what's the purpose of building levees if all of us, when you need them, you decide to destroy them? That's crazy.
Well, the thing about it is, though, is that, you know, here in southwest Missouri, and, you know, everywhere, the richest soil is on the riverbank, and the reason that the riverbank, it's a floodplain, the reason the riverbank is rich is because it brings down a layer of new silt, of new dirt. And nowadays that's not so much the case, because usually what's going to go ahead and flow out is sewage and, you know, plastic bags and crap like that here, which will sort of make it more difficult. But the thing about it is as time goes on, you know, be it a dam like Lake Mead or whatever, it silts up. Things silt up because it's no longer scouring. It's no longer scouring the bank here. And, you know, these levees have been around for a while, and as a result, the Missouri River is 61 feet above the surrounding, what used to be the high water banks. It's 65 feet above, you know, 61 feet above the high water banks. Well, as a result, sooner or later, these levees will, in many cases, implode. And what happens is the water will seek a lower level. And in some cases, like the Sabine River between Texas and Louisiana, it changes its banks every couple of years. And then they end up having a big court case over where the boundary is between Louisiana and Texas. It's one of these famous usual cases which end up in, you know, the United States Supreme Court.
Mississippi is bad for that. The Mississippi changes.
The Mississippi is called the Big Muddy.
I mean,
you know, and the reason of it is that it gathers all that dirt. Now, if you want to see a majestic river, you see where the Ohio joins the Mississippi, and essentially it's almost like having a gigantic inland lake up there, because
I call it Cairo.
I picked up a load of clay, essentially just clay dropped by the mud at what they call the free world's largest kitty litter plant. Well, I imagine it was the largest kitty litter plant in the entire world, because I don't think the Russians really care that much about feeding and caring for cats. And it gave me a headache because of the perfume that they add to the kitty litter. I mean, you'll get a perfume within 15 minutes of getting there. And I picked up 40,000 some pounds of kitty litter just to go a couple miles up to Indianapolis. And, you know, they have the world's largest at Mounds. And you had these Indians who built these mounds and stuff like that. But some cases they just dig out all this, you know, all this clay dirt from there. Now I don't think this land will be flooded forever. I think that essentially they'll go. It would have been better if this rain had occurred in March before they went ahead and planted it. And from what I gather, they pretty well destroyed the seed crops. And they pretty well, you know, the corn that's sprouting up that they planted a while back ago.
Right.
And the crops.
From websites are telling me that the planting is way behind. They've only planted like 14% of all the corn yet.
Well, it's going to be even further behind, you know, at least around Cairo. But essentially when it goes ahead and dries out, it will go ahead. But in many cases, you know, talk about global warming. You have these idiots saying that global warming will cause the next ice age. That was the premise in 2004's Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And now they're talking the same stupid shit. And it's sort of counterintuitive. And essentially this global warming horseshit, this climate change horseshit, is just ways by which politicians try to, you know, create carbon taxes and make it more expensive for white people to enjoy electrical power or something like that here. These problems could be solved, but they're not going to be solved as long as you have stupid wiggers and you end up having all these muds. Do you know they're talking that by, you know, right now, you know, when I was a kid, they said they had 3 billion people. Now they have 6.9 billion. They say by 2050, they believe they're going to have 10.1 billion people going at this current rate.
Probably.
And guess what? How many of you, you know, what percentage do you think will be white? And the answer is that, you know, the white population will drop to about from, you know, 7%. You know, even calling Jews white, but it'll drop from about 7 or 8% to about 4%. And the Uyghur population will get older, and I do think the Uyghurs want to die. But looking at Cairo, essentially here are these elderly farmers who are pretty well paid into the system, who have pretty well made sure that their levees are fixed, and here you are just blowing it up so that a river town, which essentially generates really, what, 65% niggers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't really produce anything, it should be blown up to try to save. I mean, from what I gather, looking at it, you know, there's no guarantee they'll still save Cairo.
That's right.
You know, your biggest flood was in 1937, and you end up having a big flood in 1927, as I remember. All across the South.
Here's what this nigger says. I'm reading this. While I'm talking, reading this newspaper from the local paper. There he says you can always get farmland, but you can't replace human lives. They did the right thing by blowing that levee. That son of a bitch. It wasn't his farm. Was taking.
No, it wasn't his farm. I mean, essentially, what happens is that he's probably a stupid sort of nigger that I would like to see.
No, there's a nigger. Ian.
Oh, it's a nigger.
Well, sure he is.
Well, I hear from stupid wiggers yapping shit like that.
Cairo, Illinois. At a shelter for flood victims Tuesday evening, refugees were stunned by news footage of a Missouri farmer comparing the damage that resulted from the destruction of the levee with the loss of a child. The crops, what about us? What are we supposed to do? Yelled William Reese, 55, sitting in a gymnasium in the Shawnee Community College in Ewan near Cairo. Reese was among dozens of other people who had fled homes in Cairo. You can always get farmland, but you can't replace human lives. Well, does he know how goddamn hard it is to make farmland? Has he ever stumped trees? Has he ever pulled rocks out of the soil? I mean, he probably never done a damn thing in his own life.
Well, I don't know. It sounds to me like a Uyghur wrote stupid shit like that. To be honest with you.
Well, maybe he did.
I mean, a stupid Uyghur who, I mean, you just go ahead and imagine him being chased by Leroy Tyrone Williams and Ma Dick X here, 100 niggers who, you know, don't really believe in the sanctity of Uyghur life here, who just want them who just wanted them some long pig spare ribs here from Uyghur. And, no, I don't have much use for Uyghur. I mean, it's Uyghurs who do this stupid shit. Now, normally, what happens is that, you know, essentially, you know, I just simply say, screw Cairo. Screw Cairo. I mean, it's built on a freaking floodplain. It's built on a freaking floodplain.
That's right.
I mean, it's sort of like New Orleans, to where you had District 9, District 9 is the name of a movie which sort of compares niggers and, you know, evil aliens. They're even worse than niggers. But it was number 9. And essentially, the Whigger faggots quarter, the French quarter, which was built on the high land and, you know, the high bluffs of New Orleans. I mean, essentially, it didn't flood. Essentially, Niggertown flooded. But you have all these levees, and they build up silt. They build up silt, and that silt gets higher and higher and higher and higher. And as a result, that silt gets so high that, eventually water will. I mean, it's sort of weird to where the Mississippi River is 61 feet above the base of the levee. That's sort of screwed up. Now, when this levee was built, probably in 1950 or so, essentially what happens is that then the Missouri River had sawed its natural banks. And I remember when I was locked up in a nut house in 2006, they dug this Mississippi riverboat steamer about 30-40 feet below the surface of what used to be a cornfield. And they dug up this steamer, which had blown, which had suffered a boiler explosion or hit a snag and it sunk. And essentially, the only thing that was worth anything left was that still these casks of butter. If you went ahead within about 2-3 inches of it, the butter was still good. You know what I mean? After, 150 years, it went under, 1849 or something like that. So, you end up, 160 years ago or something like that. Well, guess what? Essentially, 160 years ago, through this cornfield, which, and I've seen this big flood in 1993. You had a big flood in Missouri. The Missouri River flooded, and essentially you got to see, they went ahead and put, they went ahead and sandbagged St. Louis. They had the levees. The levees were up, but they were scared they would break. And essentially, you go down, look at the water, and you just see the Mississippi is up, 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 and there's sandbags around the Gateway Arch Park. You know what I mean? And, it was up, up, up. But 160 years ago, the Mississippi River, the bottom of the Mississippi River, the Missouri River, was... this is around Jefferson City. I mean, it was up all over the place. You had graveyards, you had cemeteries, you had caskets pop up out of the ground, all sorts of stuff here.
Let me tell you something. There are very few people in this country, percentage-wise, who live on a farm or have ever lived on a farm. When you have a flood, like they've just taken place right there, the water comes in, it kills all the bacteria in the soil, the beneficial bacteria, with the aerobic bacteria. It kills the worms. People don't realize how important worms are. It just destroys that soil. I don't believe that.
Well, I disagree. I mean, I have seen Shoal Creek where it went over its banks and sometimes it lays down rocks and gravel. But a lot of times, what it does, it lays a layer of silt. A number of places out west here in Missouri. About everywhere. I mean, river soil is usually the richest soil.
Yes.
That's where essentially people lay their corn. They lay their bottom land. They lay their corn. They lay their soybeans. And then what happens is the farmer usually has enough freaking sense that what he does is he puts his house on the freaking hill and then goes down, to work his fields. You know what I mean? With his tractor or whatever.
Couple things. The soil there is excellent. It's the water. The water is killing the soil. The septic tanks and all the rest of that stuff overflow because they're filled with water. The water comes anyway. I just went on the internet. In 2010, Cairo had 2,831 people. Just 2,000.
Well, it's not really a big, you know, I mean, I've crossed the Mississippi River at, you know, at this 3 points here. You go from Missouri, then you have a little big check station in Illinois, and then you have another one in Kentucky. And Western Kentucky is about as pretty a ground, you know, about as pretty a place as I've ever seen. Western Kentucky is.
True.
But, I mean, bluegrass and all this sort of thing. It's sort of like Missouri, but without all the brush. It's sort of like a parkland that Western Kentucky is. Western Kentucky is beautiful.
Oh, I agree
but
with you.
What happens is that where you see the Ohio River join the Mississippi, I mean, it's just huge. You see a river as big as it's ever going to get, join Missouri, which has just been joined, about 100 miles upstream, 100 some miles upstream by the Missouri. And essentially the Missouri, the Mississippi, Ohio, essentially you have the Eastern Continental Divide, to where, you know, every drop of water on the west side goes down, into the Missouri. And then you have the, Western Continental Divide, which goes to the, your various, your coasts here, either both on your east and your west. And pretty well, this river system, people have said that this is the best drainage river in the entire world. It's not like the Amazon, which leaches out all the soil and everything like that. It's not really like the Nile, which is just one slender river most of the time going through deserts. But in any case, your bottom land is the richest soil ever. And this is what strikes me, is that all this water going to California, now they're closing it up in California. I mean, essentially, if you went ahead and used your land in the rest of the United States, I mean, I've been over to Germany, and they use their land
intensively,
and they manage their land to a degree that you do not see in the United States. The closest I've ever seen it, intensely managed would be, in farms like Indiana and parts of Ohio. But still, it's still not used as intensely as, say, Germany or France or...
At any rate, talking, I looked up Wikipedia for Cairo, and the pronunciation, if I'm using this correct, it says K-A-R-E-R-O-H, at any rate. It shows a picture of abandoned downtown Cairo. It's a sorry-ass place, and...
Well, that's all across the Zogland, though. I mean, essentially what you have is that you have, in Illinois, I've gone ahead and driven through these small farm towns, in downstate Illinois. Essentially, the Republicans outnumbered by the Democrats and the niggers and the rest in Chicago. And essentially, whatever Chicago determines, essentially the rest of the state has to put up with. And usually you'll end up having in small little towns, essentially you end up having just a bunch of white farmers. I mean, Illinois is intensive corn. It's intensive corn country. From Ohio, from Ohio west to about Mitchell, South Dakota or so. And, eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas. It's not until the water starts, the rainwater starts to peter out that the corn, because the soil is rich. But, no, they had ended up, I mean, I think it's a waste of time, too. I mean, essentially, trying to save niggers, and pretty well destroying the tax base and destroying the farmers. But you got to understand, it was on behalf of Cairo, Illinois, niggers here, to go ahead and blow up a levee in Missouri. Which federal district court heard it? Was it one in Illinois or one in Missouri?
Well, apparently, they took it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court and was denied. I have no idea, Martin, of the details. The fact of the matter is, it's taking place. It's insane. Obama is determined to destroy white Christian society. People, what it will take people to wake up and realize that's what's happening. This society is crumbling every single day. This is just one more nail in the coffin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, why destroy productive whites in order to take care of just worthless niggers?
I know.
I mean, but... I mean, it's not just Obongo who started this. I mean, this plant has been in the work by the Jews since 7,000 years ago when Cain popped out. You know what I mean?
Anyway, from Wikipedia, showing several pictures of Cairo, it's a sorry place, dying. Well, whenever you got niggers, the place is always that way. You know, like I said, the earth groans beneath their feet. That's what they say in South Africa.
Yeah, well, niggers cause that. Let me go ahead and take a break from Cairo, and we can go ahead and discuss Osama bin Laden. And let me go ahead and close. You know, this thing, we've been talking for 26 minutes. And hold on, folks. Alright folks, we're back. This is Section 2 with Russ Walker. We had talked earlier about Cairo, Illinois and the waste of good white American farmland in order to save a bunch of worthless niggers and wiggers in Cairo, Illinois. I want to go ahead and discuss the Osama bin Laden thing. Folks, way back when I was 12 years old, and I've told this story before, I was a mean little kid, and I was a mean little kid with a BB gun. Now, mean little white kids with BB guns, I mean, that's just an invitation for mischief to happen. And one of the things I liked doing was, you know, in addition to kill little birds here with my BB gun and whatever I could go ahead and kill with my little BB gun. I liked sneaking up on my dad's Danish brown leghorn roosters and shooting them right where their wings, ended here, where their feathers were the thinnest, and making them jump. If you went ahead and hit them in the body, if you hit them in the wing, those feathers would, you know, repel a BB. This was not a pellet gun. This was a BB gun. Now, it was a little bit more powerful BB gun, but it was just a BB gun. It wasn't a Red Ryder or anything like that. It was a little more powerful BB gun, and it was accurate to about, 20 yards or so. It was, of course, smooth bore, and sometimes you could see the BB flying, you know, in its way. And what I liked doing was sneaking up on my dad's roosters, not his hens, and shooting them at the end of the wing where the feathers were the thinnest. And what happens when you hit them there, that rooster would just go ahead, just jump up about 2-3 feet, they'll often do a somersault, then land in his feet, then just run around clucking, and his little hair on his hands would chase after him. And here I'd go ahead and sneak up on my belly, and every time the chicken would raise his head, I'd freeze and sneak up on his belly, and I'd be a great white hunter in Africa shooting a dangerous Chickensaurus rex here. And these Danish brown leggers, they were, sort of as wild a chicken. We could go ahead and chase these white leggers, but the brown ones, the Danish brown ones were wily. They would lay a lot of eggs, and my dad liked them. So, and they were beautiful birds. So I'd sneak up there. Well, one day I snuck up and, took aim, and my aim was off, and the BB hit the head of my dad's second best rooster. And right in front of his hands here, the chicken went ahead because the BB penetrated his skull and essentially, got to his brain, probably hit him in the eye and made him flop around. And, oh my God, I'm going to get my ass whipped. Well, all of a sudden, my best friend at the time, my white German Shepherd Day Roy, big white German Shepherd Roy, went ahead and seen that chicken flopping around, and it aroused him. He went ahead and he jumped forward, and he went ahead and mouthed the chicken. Well, thinking quickly, I immediately put the BB gun up and told my dad that Roy had killed the chicken. And my dad sort of looked at me suspiciously here, but, here was a dead chicken, his second best rooster. Five hands were left, bereft for a short time. And we weren't gonna eat it because the dog had killed it. So Roy got his ass whooped instead of me, who was the one who really deserved it. Now folks, listen to all this talk about Osama bin Laden. I have no doubt that these arrows plotted to fly airplanes into the World Trade Center and a number of other places. But the thing about it is I believe Zog knew all about it. The Jews knew all about it. And they want to happen so that they could go ahead and make George Bush become a two-term president instead of the thieving idiot that he was. And so we could have a war for big oil and Jews. And essentially both the Jews and Zog knew all about the World Trade Center. That's why these jets were not shot down until it looked like one was going to go ahead and hit the White House or the Congress critters or something, And that's the brilliant thing about Flight 93, about the Zeros who saved Washington, the District of Corruption. So recently, this week, Osama bin Laden allegedly was killed. Now, folks, I don't know if that's the case. You do gotta wonder, and don't believe this crap about how Zog cares a crap about Muslims and Muslim ideas or anything like that, and that's why they buried Osama bin Laden at sea. I believe it's entirely possible that Osama bin Laden was not the one who was killed. It was just some guy, some religious guy, or whatever, who got scragged who got killed in the story's been changing. He used to be an awful firefighter. Well, now they've admitted that Osama bin Laden wasn't armed. Only one guy was armed. And they killed him real quick. And it was, Osama was a big coward. He used it as a shield. Now, essentially, the story's changing about that. But you have all these Wiggers believing this stupid shit because they want to believe this stupid shit. So, Russ, here's a question. Do you think that it was Osama bin Laden who got scragged at Pakistan, or is it more a matter of who knows?
Well, who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been hearing stories on the internet for years now that he's been dead at various times. We really don't know. The fact of the matter is whether he was killed 2 days ago or 12 years ago, you're not going to see the United States...
Well, not 12 years ago. 8 or 9 years ago.
You're not going to see the hypocritical United States end Homeland Security. You're not going to see each bank end all the changes to the Bank Secrecy Act, which have affected stock and bond, checking accounts, all kinds of nonsense. You're not going to see the end of the war in Afghanistan, which was allegedly provoked by this 9/11. The whole thing is a con job.
Yeah, it's all together, just like who killed my dad? Who actually was the one who killed my dad's Danish brown leghorn rooster? The answer is, well, I was. Who ended up getting whooped for it? Why? My dog did. And that's the way Zog does here. I do believe that they were sort of plotting to do this sort of thing. But essentially, they wanted, as they look at this, here was a skyscraper which was past its economic life. You had this Jew who essentially wanted to get rid of it, and Jew lightning struck in the form of,
look, I don't know about the airplanes, but I know one thing. That building came down from what's called nanothermite.
Yeah, it came down from them, from them going ahead and shearing off the chamber, the structural steel. It was shaped charged at the structural steel.
True. In any event, this 9/11 is too complex for us to discuss. But I mean,
oh, we can discuss it. I mean, you have Jews discussing it all the time.
I saw an email today. I think I deleted it. But everything in this society is a lie. From the Oklahoma City bombing, the killing.
Oh, that was a lie. That was a lie.
Killing of Kennedy, the 9/11 deal. Everything we hear about is a lie. Iraq, Afghanistan. It is just nauseating, the dishonesty and corruption in this world. And the people of the United States have the audacity to point at China and North Korea as being corrupt institutions. Hell, this country is as corrupt as any place in the world.
More corrupt. And with less reason.
Probably the most corrupt institution in this society is traffic court. Everybody's guilty. And it's run by the damn insurance company. It's a long story. I shouldn't get upset, Martin. We can't change it.
Well, things will change. I mean, things will not change here. But essentially, as far as whether Osama bin Laden was scragged, I don't know. I mean, the thing about it is that who does know? I mean, there's so many lies. But essentially, the best thing to do is not believe a single damn thing the government tells you. Right?
I agree with you.
Yeah. But Wiggers, they go ahead. No! I mean, look, it's sort of hard to get all upset about essentially a scam job to where Jews and Zog knew all about these little ragheads getting aboard. And folks, right now, do you know that they found a plot that on September 11th, 2011, 10 years, while Osama was plotting to do something else here. He was plotting something about blowing up choo-choo trains or something. You know what I mean?
The U.S. is the biggest terrorist nation on the face of the earth.
Oh, it is, yeah.
I can't stand the hypocrisy from Dresden, to Nagasaki, to Hiroshima, to Iraq, which is an abomination. Afghanistan, the whole thing is sickening.
It's sickening.
Absolutely sickening.
And here we are. We're talking about how we're going to keep the Chinese from getting powerful, even while we're borrowing money from them here.
Yeah.
Essentially, we set up all our manufacturing to China, to where China is talking about essentially trying, because they've realized is that there's no sense in slave labor to produce $30 DVD players if all you're going to get is a piece of paper that says it's worth $20. You know what I mean?
That's right.
There's no sense to it.
I am ashamed to be an American. When I find out...
Well, I don't consider myself to be an American. I don't consider myself to be a Zogling. You know what I mean?
Well, let's put it this way. In its classical sense, I am ashamed to be an American when I find that the government, which is allegedly, which of course is false, is supposed to be my government, tortures people in the worst possible means, and they justify it. That's the end justifies the means. I would love to see Cheney and those other goddamn sons of bitches be tortured for eternity time in hell.
Well, I do believe if I wouldn't have been in jail, I probably would have sold official Aryan Nations gelding knives and nut squeezer pliers here. I mean, see, I do believe in torture myself here. You know, the difference is that I mean, me and the Dicker have a disagreement as to who ought to be tortured. But here they are talking about land of the free and home of the slave. And, you know, I mean, this, you know, and I do need to go ahead and do a parody of old Toby Keith, you know, about the red, white, and Jew, about how tough it is and how strong you'll stand. And it's just a load of Zog shit. It's just a load of Jew shit. I mean, listening to stupid shit. I mean, although on the other hand, sort of like I told the Secret Service, I mean, I'm sort of glad that the nigger got elected. Now, I didn't vote for the stupid nigger. I didn't vote for the funky monkey. But now what happens is the wiggers are going ahead and they're looking at a stupid nigger running shit. And I was chewing on their ass. I'll admit, I was chewing on these Secret Service agents' ass here because essentially, I've never threatened to harm a single head on, harm a single nappy hair, hair on the nappy-headed nigger. In fact, I was sort of glad that the nigger got elected as opposed to that evil bitch Hillary and that stupid, evil moron, McCain. I mean, shoot, Arizona, you ought to be fucking ashamed of yourself. You know what I mean?
I didn't vote for anyone. None of them. They all.
Well, Roxy didn't vote for anybody. I voted for some guy named Chuck Baldwin. But, I mean, it was probably somewhat a waste of time. I probably should have just been like Roxy and not voted for anybody. I have a couple times. I mean, they're such pieces of shit. I will. Generally, what happens is that I vote for myself. And I'll vote for, but usually I just don't vote for anybody. I vote no on any tax increases, of course. Since I vote no, I vote for myself, and that's about it. That's just about it. I mean, there's some pieces, if I get really pissed off, I'll just go ahead and write in something like, I guess this piece of shit Selby who sent me a nut house illegally. I wrote a piece of shit here, underneath the old Selby here. I wrote in, a turd or something. But but usually I'll just leave a fucking blank. I mean, there's no point to it.
The whole society is so rigged. Look at gold and silver in a week. Silver's dropped about 20%, gold has dropped like $50 an ounce. I mean, tell me this is market action taking.
No, this is essentially what happens is that this is just a little Jew bankster shit here. They're selling it for profits to make it go down, and then what happens? They know they'll sell a bunch, so then they go ahead and buy it on the downstroke. You know what I mean?
Oh,
either way, upstroke or downstroke, either way you'll get screwed. Right?
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway.
Okay. In any case.
Martin, I'm getting tired.
Alrighty. I'm gonna go ahead and you don't know anything about Edgar Steele or anything like that. He got railroaded. During this last night I went ahead and, worked on his daughter Joy Britton's thing to show up, and John was all pissed off because the stupid little bitch has, found another little predator to go with here, and she didn't want her daddy to go down to Pocatello, "You're an embarrassment." And John was sort of pissed off about that. And he found out that Lorinda had given her money so she could go down to Pocatello. And then I guess she's going to go down to Nebraska to meet her new little coyote dick. But essentially, I went ahead and wrote her a motion. And the judge, and, you know, I mean, essentially what happens, the judge was supposed to give her 20 days to file an answer. And the 20 days was up on the 19th. And essentially, he went ahead and he did a short count, and he went ahead and gave her a divorce on the 14th. Well, since the 19th, she went ahead. She talked to the girl that the first cousin that Chris Luna and his brother Basil molested. Basil went to prison for it and found out, according to this girl, that Chris was still molesting her, and talked to another girl who. Chris was stalking, but anyway, they sort of figured out that Joy wasn't, you know, at least this one girl figured out that Joy wasn't serious, so she sort of backed out because she scared, you know, crapless of Chris. And they went down there. I went ahead and wrote a motion asking essentially, look, I want, you know, let's have a child protective service investigation. Let's have an investigation and essentially hold this thing on, you know, hold and, don't go ahead. And essentially, this judge and this lawyer weasel just steamrolled all over him and said, well, you ought to sue Lindstedt and John Britton here for slander. Well, I ain't worried about being sued for slander, because if he sues me for slander, well, then guess what? His little court records will be out, because, hey, he was convicted as a child molester, and from what I get, according to this girl, he still is. But essentially, they sealed the records up and threatened her with a whole bunch of stuff here, and she's just all chicken shit scared, and, you know, she hasn't said a dang thing here to John. She just got pretty well just steamrolled by this crooked judge and the rest. And I don't know, I'm thinking of filing a federal lawsuit to get this thing out in the open. But, here in the United States, they're going after, quote, racists. They're going after anybody connected with Aryan nations. Paradoxically, it's safer just to be an open racist rather than someone like Edgar Steele, who's playing a revolution or something like that here. But do you have any thoughts about, you know, what happened to poor old Joy or anything like that?
I have no information. I've no knowledge with anything.
Well, I sort of kept you up here, and I've been sort of kept. I haven't got around to suing that little evil manzer Brian Rio just yet. But yeah, I do need to sue him. And, folks, I do need to, essentially, there's a lot of stuff that's happened during this last week in the movement, and also with John Britton and his family, and also what with Osama bin Laden a lot. There's been a lot of shit that's been happening in the bowel movement. And I do need to have a web page up. You know, I do have one up, so, you know, but I do need to go ahead and comment on it. Anyway, Russ, I'm going to let you go to bed here, or go to sleep, and hail victory and good night, and I'm glad you could be with me.
Good night.
All right, hail victory. Good night, Russ. Yeah, anyway, I'm glad that Russ went, you know, managed to go ahead and stay up a little bit past his bedtime for me, and I appreciate what he had to say about Cairo, and also what he had to say about Osama bin Laden, and he didn't know too much about Joy Luna, and didn't know anything about Edgar Steele, really. So, we're going to go ahead and finish this segment, and then the next segment, I'm going to go ahead and plug in the TeamSpeak, and we'll cover that here in just a minute. Hail victory.
Hearts be now united. Two arms, two arms, two arms, and our stand and live or die for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Oh, hear the northern thunders mutter, northern flags and south winds flutter. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Sending back your fierce defiance, stamp upon the first alliance. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie, hoorah, hoorah. For Dixie land we take our stand and live or die for Dixie. Two arms, two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Fear no danger, shun no labor, lift up rifle, pike, and saber. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Shoulder breath and close to shoulder, let the odds make each heart bolder. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie, hoorah, hoorah. For Dixie's land we take our stand and live or die for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie.
Okay, greetings, Ogling. Greetings, Oglings here, which is not really altogether bad here. I just had a computer crash. I had another lost connection here, and right now my MP3 player is being charged up. And folks, I ended up having a number of comedy of errors tonight. And folks, the big news, at least on the movement, is that Edgar Steele has been convicted by a jury of his white chicken peers in Boise, Idaho. And I think it has a lot to do with Edgar Steele being supposedly known as being Aryan Nations. Now, Edgar Steele was not Aryan Nations. He was not Aryan Nations material. And, folks, maybe I should have just simply, when he got arrested, I pretty well told people that, no, he wasn't Aryan Nations. He was not Aryan Nations material. Anybody claiming to be Aryan Nations in Idaho, who is anyway associated with Gerald O'Brien or any or Paul Mullett or whatever, they're not Aryan Nations either. They're just simply SPLC, ADL, Aryan Nations, little clones here who are used by the ADL and SPLC and by Zog. And Larry Fairfax is an Aryan Nations. And essentially, I do think that Edgar Steele displayed a lot of foolishness in having anything to do with somebody who claimed to be Aryan Nations, or was playing around like Larry Fairfax, who was actually, it turns out to be, part Jew, from what I gather. He's a cousin of this brother of this Jew named Bill Maher, of politically, incorrect or whatever. Just another Jew. So that makes Fairfax a Jew too, from what I gather. So, in any case though, we're a little Jew Mischling or somebody used by a Jew. And I think Edgar Steele displayed a good deal of foolishness. But no, I don't think he was trying to murder his wife or anything like that. And he's not really associated with Aryan Nations. Other than a decade ago, he wanted to give a name for himself as a big and bad resistance lawyer. And he was Pastor Richard Butler's attorney. And I don't think Edgar Steele was much of an attorney. I think he made a number of mistakes. I think he should have went ahead and testified on his behalf. And folks, I do hope that this appeal will work, but folks, I don't really have much hope for it. I don't have much hope for it at all. None. Because essentially, the crooked judge went ahead and wouldn't allow him to present the biggest item of the scalpatory evidence, i.e. that these digital recordings were false. Now, Harold Covington, he's pretty well mad about it.
And, you know, folks, I'm not really mad about it. I don't expect anything better from Wiggers, and I certainly don't expect anything better from Zog. Nothing to be expected from Zog. It's just sort of like this Osama bin Laden killing that allegedly took place a couple of days ago. It's all together based upon fraud. You know, now, it's possible that Osama bin Laden was scragged, but, you know, scragged by Navy Steels, and they're changing the story, just like they did with Edgar Steele's alleged trial. They keep on changing their stories, and the Whiggers eat that shit up. Now, what happens is that supposedly Osama was unarmed, and essentially hardly anybody was armed, so the story about the big firefight was just a lie. Essentially, they went ahead and killed, maybe they killed somebody who simply lived in a compound, or that's what they call a house, which contains an anti, you know, Zog activist or something like that. They supposedly killed somebody, and I don't know if it's Osama bin Laden, and nobody else does either. Now, in the case of earlier when Russ was in there, I told the story about when I was a mean 12-year-old mean little kid with a BB gun. And folks, little white kids with BB guns are just mischief waiting to happen. I went ahead and, you know, deliberately shot at my dad's second best Danish Brown Leghorn rooster, trying to hit him back of his feathers and make him jump. Instead, I actually screwed up and hit the chicken, the rooster, in the head, and the rooster got hit in the eye and flopped around, and my dog, my white dog at the time, German Shepherd dog named Roy, went ahead and seen that flopping chicken and mouthed him, and Roy got the ass whipping instead of me, who was the one who actually killed the chicken. I blamed it on Roy. I pulled the 911 on Roy. Poor Roy was the Osama bin Laden of way back in the, at the end of the 60s and the beginning of the 1970s. Poor Roy got, you know, poor Roy was Osama bin Laden here, Osama bin Chicken Killer. And he got his ass whipped by my dad when I was the one who deserved the ass whipping for it. And the same way with Zog, they went ahead and they staged this 9/11 horse shit. They knew that these Muslims were plotting, and the Jews and Zog went ahead and went along with it. Just the same way with Oklahoma City, they knew Timothy McVeigh was coming at Halloween City. And essentially all it is just a Zog false front. It's just a means of entrapping idiots. Same way with poor old Edgar Steele. They go ahead and they send somebody, and Edgar Steele is running around with this, you know, buffoon. And this buffoon steals from him. And Edgar Steele would have been, you know, better off not saying a damn thing about, you know, Larry the Cable Guy or something like that. Essentially, he's just a thieving buffoon who stole from him and leaves it at that. But he come up with a whole bunch of other stuff, which people choose or choose not to believe. Now, folks, I do not believe Edgar Steele is guilty. But on the other hand, unlike some people who claim to like Edgar Steele, I've never questioned Edgar Steele's innocence. He might be guilty, but, you know, I don't think he is. And as a result, I support Edgar Steele. Even though I support Edgar Steele as far as being innocent of this crime, I don't support Edgar Steele for being a Whigger whimper and just writing bullshit that scares up the Whiggers and doesn't actually accomplish anything. But in any case, where am I at here? Is Elohim City even around? Probably, you know, it probably is, but it's not around as Elohim City. If you understand the difference between the two. It's not around as Elohim City. Go ahead and open up a new bunch of things here. I had a computer crash, so I'm opening up the old Windows. What went ahead and crashed. I'll get it up here. This crash was caused by essentially me pulling the memory card out, and I think that's what triggered the crash. So, where was I at? Well, getting to what, you know, what is going on here in the Zogland. Oh shoot. Ended up having this one guy come on here. Let me go ahead and close his little account here. Okay. Where am I at? go ahead and close that account altogether. There were all these people who were disappointed that... Okay, folks, I was busy dealing with something on the computer. And that's the, you know, that's the bad thing about having quite a few messages out. Now, Harold Covington, he's pretty well annoyed at what happened. For my gear, him and Edgar Steele had a big fight in 2004 over an article that Steele had written. And in any case, I had my disagreements with. Alrighty, I guess I do not have the early chat on this particular thing here. Go ahead and look at it. Ooh. Okay, folks. I found out it's usually better to put a pause in something here. Okay. I was laughing at Nimbusters. Well, what happens is Reverend Robert's kids went ahead, and I've no doubt that he went ahead and took over for Ellerine City. You got to understand that way back in the day, I mean, there were some people that didn't think old Dr. Bob Millar was altogether white himself. And, generally he looks like he looked a little bit more like Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes. And what happens is well understood that if you went to Ellerine City, you were essentially getting yourself in trouble here. So right now I'm doing the movement turd, and I'm sort of being recorded right now. So anyway. Yeah, I had a little phone call I had to answer. So where am I at? Okay, I'm trying to. Oh dang. Okay, folks. I'm trying to. If you want to go ahead and run away from all who live Bill White's compound, that's fine with me, Massachusetts. Bill Riccio here, not Bill White's here. Well, whatever here. What happens is that his son named Bruce, owned and operated 30 trucks for National, which was a mid-level trucking company, which would go ahead and haul dry goods. You know, it was a van, and some of it had reefer capacity. And his son would run about 30 or 40 trucks. He was a subcontractor for National Trucking Company. And it was in the top 20, I think, of Soul Fleets. You see them fairly often. It wasn't as big as certainly Schneider and J.B. Hunt or Burlington Motor Carriers, which I worked for. It was sort of a mid-level company, and his son named Bruce, I think, had right around 30 trucks. Essentially, they lived out in the woods, and it was well known that Bob Millar was a federal informant. And his son-in-law, Jim Ellison, of the Covenant Arm and Sword of Lord, got 5 years in prison or something like that. He decided he didn't want to be a big and bad domestic terrorist or something like that, so he went ahead and testified against some of the order people at Ellerine City. So essentially it was understood, and I got an invitation to go down to Ellerine City, and I went ahead sort of facetiously asked Lewis Beam and Catch a Lane when was the best time to go down to Ellerine City when the informant, line wasn't so much. They said there never was a good time to go down to Ellerine City because, hey, Bob Millar was an informant. And it was understood Bob Millar was an informant. The son-in-law was an informant. Essentially, this thing which happened on 9/11, the same thing that happened in Oklahoma City. They knew Timothy VeVey was coming. And I went ahead and wrote a little short story, which didn't get you know, completed called the Manchurian Oswald's Right Buttock. And the idea was that the CIA and Army Intelligence put a microchip to his left buttock, and the Phidias priesthood put a microchip in his right buttock. And essentially, you had these two microchips fighting for Timothy McVeigh's soul. Everybody knew, Zog knew that Timothy McVeigh was going to detonate his little truck bomb. And folks, if you go ahead and look at what occurred, they claim that Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols created this truck bomb. But there's a lot of people who think that rogue elements in the FBI or government agency were actually delivered to him a truck bomb. They knew that he would detonate his truck bomb, and then they would take down the the building supports using tape charges. Folks, every time you have something like that, you record it. Now, when they recorded that Osama bin Laden had been scragged on, it was on Sunday. I was recording the movement turd and pretty well covered it. And somebody didn't like me recording about the nigger. Yeah, Edgar Steele got convicted. He got railroaded. Why is anybody surprised about that? I mean, I sort of figured out that was indeed what would happen. And everybody, how could it happen? Well, it happens all the time, folks. It would have happened to me if I let it. He made a mistake. First mistake was being anybody other than his own lawyer. And I hear these idiots, well, he's an idiot to have himself as a lawyer. No! He wasn't that good of a lawyer. But what you do is that you never support Zog. You never pretend you're going to get a fair trial. Since if Zog is out to get you, you go ahead and you make it quite clear that you are out to get Zog. Folks, the solution to these bogus show trials is just to simply round up the families and the children of regime criminals and torture them to make it a confession. It's not about law. It's not about order. It's about sides. This is a civil war. This is a great tribulation we are facing. So no, you don't even pretend that the system has any legitimacy at all. I was talking to Russ Walker. Well, they can't make you, you know, get a lawyer. I said, well, they tried to make me get a lawyer. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but you're different. Yeah, I was different. I got, essentially, jailed in a jail in a nut house for 3.5 years because I would not accept a public pretender. Would not accept any lawyer. Sort of lied about it. Yeah, well, Hank Scott, he's another little faggot Zogbot. You know what I mean? This guy named Dillaview, he sort of showed back up here. It looks like old Hatting the Meerkat has sort of disappeared, though, down for the count. So, yeah, I mean, you know, his wife knows that he didn't do it. Essentially, I don't have Stockholm syndrome. Well, they know you don't have Stockholm syndrome. I mean, you don't think that they don't know that Edgar Steele is innocent? Now, folks, that and a dollar will get you a cup of, you know, McDonald's coffee. They know damn well he's innocent. You think that mattered to Zog? Hell no. Does it matter that, no, they wouldn't allow him to have his witnesses and his evidence that, you know, his noted audio experts who would say that, hey, Edgar, you know, this digital recording has been tampered with? It's bullshit? The answer is no. I knew going in that the best that Edgar Steele could get would be another Hal Turner episode, to where Hal, just like Hal Turner, you have some little weasel, you have some little ringer in there, and if you end up having a bunch of these stupid wigger, you know, bitches, go ahead and figure out that, well, I guess he's innocent. I mean, there is reasonable doubt. I mean, how come they won't let him go ahead and have his own little expert here say that he didn't do it, that this is a bogus tape? Because it came out that here's Larry Fairfax, who, by the way, is related somehow to the Jew Bill Maher. You know, I'm not quite sure how he's related, but from my gather, he's a cousin to the half brother of the Jew Bill Maher, something like that. So he's related somehow to this Jew. I'm not sure by marriage or by blood, but you know, even if he's just a worthless wigger, he's a lying piece of shit. Essentially, here you have this lying piece of shit here, essentially, and they had somebody from jail say, hey, you know, Larry's a liar. Larry wants to write a book. Larry wants to make an action picture movie from his bogus ghostwritten book here. stabbed in the back by the FBI. Me and my logging truck running over an Area Nations member. And, you know, they wouldn't allow, they, you know, I mean, Zog knows Edgar Steele didn't do it. Zog knows full well. But no, I mean, Area, you know, he went ahead and had something to do with Area Nations. Now, folks, first mistake is to not let yourself be represented by any lawyer at all. Second mistake is that he did not, he should have got up and testified. There's this idiot, Ashkenazi asswipe, who I think is Mayor Zogwipe. You know, his name is Anchorage Activist. Don't talk about Zog. Shit, I'll talk about Zog. Folks, I would just simply say is that just as you went ahead and took my grandchildren and tried, you know, pretty well put the pressure on one of them to supposedly lie about me, I don't have anything wrong. I don't see anything wrong with taking your children and torturing them to testify against you. Do to them what they do to you, and do it more. There's this guy who, you know, whose writing I respect, named Neil Ragno, over on Four Fags Thieves, was whining about, oh, what do you do with a population that is trained from birth to hate white supremacists? The answer, what you do, is that you have a civil war. It's not a matter of doing anything. It's going to happen, folks. This Great Tribulation is around the corner. And it's not a matter of innocence or guilt. It's a matter of what side are you on? What side are you on? I've covered, and I need to go ahead and bring it up, but I've been sort of distracted by Pastor John Britton's family troubles with his stupid little daughter, who got screwed today too. A supposedly Mormon judge, what happens? The chomo gets the girl, the little girl, and she don't care enough for anything other than like my worthless stepdaughter, fat ass Emily, about going ahead and getting her honey hole stuffed by yet another predator. But folks, you have this sort of stupid crap, and it is a Whigger problem. It is always a Whigger problem. And folks, don't understand that's exactly what it is here. So, in any case, what happened? Moner wants to be tapped by the Whigger Whimper, you know what I mean? I don't want a Moner. Hell. Oh, is the Moner talking shit about the Whigger Whimper? Well, that sucks here. I bet Hattie is jerking himself. I bet old Jim Giles. I bet old Jim Giles is just having a gorbasm. You know what I mean? The thing about it is I feel sort of sorry for Edgar. I really do. I don't hate Edgar. I really don't here. But the thing about it is that, you know, when I went ahead and told people, I told John, I said, shoot, don't show up to Boise to lend them moral support, because it won't do you any good, and it sure as hell won't do him any good. And openly, I just simply said, hey, if you have anything to do with Aryan Nation, stay away from his trial. The only thing I could do for Edgar Steele was I'll probably go ahead and write a press release and say Edgar Steele is not Aryan Nations and never was Aryan Nations. He was just some lawyer who wanted to play resistance lawyer. And essentially, we don't need lawyers in the movement. We need fighters. We need writers. We need thinkers. We need doers more than anything. We don't need lawyers in the resistance. Need to check my turkey? Well, I'll check it in a minute here. Essentially, I got a couple of pots boiling on the stove. They got some cannon jars in. I'm going to go ahead and some of this turkey was beginning to get a little bit bad, so I put some barbecue sauce on it, and I have it cooking right now. Okay. In any case, you end up having all this sort of thing here. Why does everyone hate Jim Giles? I don't hate Jim Giles. But he's a roid-raged retard. I had a big blow-up with him on the 3rd of July over him ragging on Edgar Steele, trying to find him guilty. And I was trying to tell him, you don't rag on one of ours when he's down. You know what I mean? You don't rag on one of... You don't go ahead And that's what annoys me here. You have some of these tards on VNNF. Well, I sort of think he might have been guilty, but he's, you know, mentally ill. I don't think Edgar Steele's guilty. I mean, shoot. You know, the thing about it is that Edgar Steele is a lawyer. He has a big head. He lives on words. I mean, you know, old Cindy don't look that bad, you know, for being her age. I mean, it's, you know, it's marginally better. It's marginally better than a greased knot hole, I think, here. I mean, by the time you go ahead and get past 40 or 50, you're not as interested in what you used to be interested in here back when you and your wife was young here. I mean, well, yeah, we used to do it two or three times a day, didn't we, you know, moan pupster. You know what I mean? Yeah, we did. Well, when we first got in there, we used to do it two, three, sometimes four times a day here. I mean, shit. Well, at least two or three times a day.
Maybe twice.
Oh, it was more than two or three times a couple of days.
When we first got together, you was working.
Well, I was working here, but, you know, shit, I had some time at home. Anyway, what happens? Your old lady, she just doesn't altogether remember it the way it was here. You know what I mean? Anyway, where am I at here? The thing about it is that when you first, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is here. When you first go ahead and get with your old lady here, I mean, you want to do it, you know, two or three and something, you know, I mean, you know, you want to do it quite a bit, you know, you want to go ahead and do it quite a bit here when you first get with your old lady here, but then you get, 40, and then you get 50, and you're just not as interested anymore in it, you know, as it used to be when you were younger, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is here, or at least that's the way it is with me, but, essentially, why would Edgar want to go ahead and, you know, kill his old lady? You know, from what I gather, he wasted his money on silver. So he should have gone ahead and simply, figured out he's no longer going to be anything other than a tax accountant lawyer and actually work to do some political change just like George Lincoln Rockwell here. I called him the Whigger Whimper because essentially he would whip up the Whiggers, get all the Whiggers really interested in doing nothing. I called him a Whigger Whimper, and you know, he sent me his book, you know, and it was filed to Martin who shows that character counts for an honest review. Well, I gave him an honest review and he didn't like it. I just simply said, Edgar, your book. Well, first of all, your book sort of pissed me off here because essentially it's just like Covington's book here. Essentially, it was sort of talking shit about Chris Van Dandy.
You cannot have a rational discussion of race with Chris Van Dandy people.
Well, what the hell is there to discuss, Edgar? What is there to discuss? Non-whites don't belong among Israelites. They don't belong among white people. There's nothing to discuss. Rationally, non-whites do not belong among whites at all. End of discussion. There's nothing to discuss. And it wasn't just me. There were a number of people who didn't like his book, Defense of Racism. And essentially, I just went ahead and told Edgar that his book was okay, but all it does is just whip up a bunch of wiggers to a froth, to a frenzy. It doesn't actually do anything. That's what this white nationalist movement, this bowel movement of ours, all it is, like sperm fred or the rest, is to whip up wiggers into a frenzy. Oh, I'm white, I'm white, I'm white. Oh, I'm for the white race here, but, oh, there's some good Jews and there's some good niggers. And, oh, no, don't be a maniac like Winston. He wants to kill a whole bunch of people. Folks, we have a wigger problem. Far more than we have a nigger, or gook, or beaner, or even a Jew problem. We have a wigger problem. But you gotta understand is that these people are, they're not people. They're animals without souls who are what they are, and they act the way they act. Just a couple of days ago, I was listening to where they said that the world population was 6.9 billion. It's a little bit shy of 7 billion. And I remember when I was a kid, it was 3 billion when I was born. 3 billion people on this earth, now it's what? Close to 7. Population has more than doubled. And guess what? The white population has gone down. And this count whites, even, you know, so-called Jews and shit. Population has gone down. And folks, there, we no longer have. I mean, They were saying that in just, by 2050, there would be 10.1 billion people, humanoids, on the face of the Earth. And folks, are you out of your freaking mind? This Earth cannot support 6 billion. It can't support 6.9 billion. Can't even support 130 million wiggers anymore here in the Zogland. Folks, there is no solution to these problems as long as wiggers allow all these mutts to come in. Folks, let's say 10.1 billion by 2050, the way things are going. It's going to be the population of wigger. It's going to be the population of wigger. We'll go ahead and drop down from 7 or 8% to around, maybe 4%, maybe 2%, something like that. Folks, how are these wiggers supposed to go ahead and take care of all this additional population, population, if essentially wiggers can no longer even take care of themselves? Folks, it's not going to get to 10 billion people. It's going to be lucky if it gets to 7 billion and then it collapses, folks. It's not doing very well. Not at all. Yeah, just ask Mugabe how well it worked for him. It's not working, folks. So, in any case, muds won't survive. But then again, neither will wiggers. Now, I'm going to go ahead and take a little break here. And, folks, we'll be back here in a few minutes. I'll check my MP3 player. So until then, hail victory. And we'll go ahead and take a little bit of a break here, folks.
Okay, folks, I'm back here on the Movement Third. Frank Wigger has been complaining that the shows are not as good. I seem to have lost my zeal since I got kicked out in February from TalkShoe. And it's going on close to 6 months since Brian Reel went ahead and essentially attacked me. Now, I think I'm going to cover real quick what John Britton's problem's been, and sort of to where his daughter has been deemed to be Aryan Nations, even though she's not Aryan Nations. She's been a rather disobedient little girl. And last night and this morning, his daughter, Joy Britton Luna, who's married to Chris Luna, or was married, she was supposed to show up in Pocatello at 11 o'clock this morning because I had written for her way back on April 18th when she found out that this particular lawyer named Bradley Willis, who works for Idaho Legal Aid, which is supposed to be for battered women, this little piece of shit who she had married, named Christopher Luna, had claimed to be a battered husband. Now, folks, they are going after anybody who they claim to be white nationalist or even think is remotely white nationalist. I have no doubt that this Christopher Luna had said that Joy was an Aryan Nations bitch here and was going to raise her little girl to be the blonde bitch of Bergen-Belsen and skin out Jews or what have you. And essentially, they need to let him, his green tooth mother, raise the kid. Even though Chris and his older brother, Basil, had molested this, their first cousin. And folks, they got in ahead and they claimed that Joy had 10 days to make an answer. Now, she got sent to the nut house on February 13th. Because, guess what, old Chris's green tooth mother were plotting, you know, plotting, and Joy could have gone ahead and had, you know, gotten a divorce. But she went ahead and went back to this worthless bastard, and, you know, in December of 2010, no, December of 2009, and essentially betrayed everybody. So here he waits about a year, a little bit over a year, and then he's back to his crap to get rid of Joy and have her support him like, you know, he's a nigger or an Indian. And, folks, he goes ahead and tells a big story about how old Joy has been battering him, even though he weighs 220 pounds, and she only weighs 83 to 90-some pounds. And, folks, this judge goes along with this crookedness. So, I go ahead and look at the rules and found out that she actually had 20 days. 20 days to answer the amended complaint. Now, what this judge pretended is that the original complaint was the one which had to be answered within 20 days, even though this particular lawyer had made an amended complaint for divorce. Well, folks, once that complaint got amended, it was no longer the same old complaint. And 20 days from March 30th is April 19th. So, she shows up. They're supposed to go ahead and deal with this restraining order that Chris had gotten. Well, Joy had allegedly twisted his arm and made him, he was in fear for his life. All this good, happy horseshit. And what it turned out is that Joy had been arrested on March 16th, the night before the 17th, because Chris got his mother to sign or to write this bogus bomb explosion or threat to a judge, Galen Box, and the judge had to recuse himself and essentially admitted his mother did it, so the mother gets a misdemeanor. Well, shades of Larry Fairfax here. Shades of Larry Fairfax. Essentially, it's his mother and him who go ahead and contrive the bogus bomb plot at Pocatello / Bannock County Courthouse. And essentially, Joy gets arrested, including, you know, by 17 pigs, including 4, allegedly, from the U.S. Marshals Service, according to her new boyfriend she met at the nut house. Now, what happens is that this boyfriend is himself a criminal. And like I've told John, essentially Joy is just like a little sheep. Baa! Baa! little sheep pussy, little you. Now, way back in the day in South Dakota, the Swedish and, you know, Swedish and Norwegian and English and German farmers, what they used to do, like my grandmother did, is that they would raise turkeys for Thanksgiving. Essentially, you know, get them as poults here and then raise them up, you know, on their grain or whatever. Get the poults and let them eat grain and let them eat grasshoppers. And they would have the children raise the sheep. Now, what they would do is they would turn the sheep off to a fenced-off pasture during the day and have a sheepdog and the children watch after the sheep. See, that was usually a young man's, you know, young man's very first means of making some money is raising the sheep. But the sheep require far more intensive looking after than the cattle. And folks, if you have a sheep, a stray sheep, that wanders off from the flock or a turkey or something like that, folks, that's a surefire way to attract a coyote. I imagine if you want to go ahead and shoot a coyote, just turn loose a stray sheep away from its flock, or a turkey away from its flock. Yeah, you'll attract predators, and that's essentially what Joy Britton is like. Just a little stupid, woolly-headed sheep. So, find out. They get down there the night of the 18th. The boyfriend has paid for a motel. He's yapping stupid crap about how we need a lawyer, we need a lawyer, we need a lawyer, we need a lawyer. Well, folks, there's no lawyer. There's no lawyer there. And folks, one of John's Mormon friends, a Mormon elder, supposedly was even going to go ahead and pay a second $10,000 for a different lawyer. But essentially, the new boyfriend demanded, no, don't pay the lawyer. Give me $2,500, and I will pay the lawyer. Well, the Mormon elders said, no, because this guy looks like he's a prescription drug freak as well as an alcoholic. He's just going to go ahead and buy prescription drugs. He's just going to go ahead and use the money to buy drugs here, and, you know, there's not going to be a lawyer. You know, I mean, essentially he said, hey, you give me the name of the lawyer, I'll send over the $10,000 to get the divorce. No, give me the $2,500. And essentially, that deal fell through. So guess what? There's not going to be any lawyer. And I go ahead and write a number of motions. Well, she shows up and they won't accept the motions because guess what? The divorce was granted on the 14th. A quick count. The next day is the restraining order thing. And essentially, I draft a Rule 59e motion. Now, the only good thing about Idaho state law, I mean, it's crooked as hell, just like Butler found out. It is crooked as hell. It's the only state that I know of to where if you are a defendant, you have to pay for the right to defend yourself in a civil suit. And as a result, you end up having these Jew lawyers and these Jew bill collectors, and they create bogus suits, and they put these idiots in front of them. Well, folks, that's what Butler found out. He went ahead and lost. He went ahead and lost because he went ahead and lost to a crooked jury in Coeur d'Alene, which wanted to destroy Butler, didn't care how they did it, and they went ahead and did this sort of thing. And folks, the notion that a jury is invulnerable for its decisions, I disagree. I've already pointed out during the very first Israelite Civil War against Benjamin is that every population is responsible for what they do, and they're especially responsible in the case if they're a jury. They make a verdict supportive of the criminal regime. You support a criminal regime, you need to die along with that regime. That's why these bad kings, when the king's family and when the king's, you know, bail priests and when the king's supporters were killed, anybody who went ahead and buried these regime criminals, they too was deemed to be regime criminals, and they too and their families were executed and set out to be eaten by the dogs in the city and the birds in the field. And I've already covered that in the House of Ahab and the First Benjamite Civil War. which I do need to go ahead and put up. But in any case, she doesn't even have a jury. Now, essentially, they just go ahead and go along with that crooked decision by this judge. And essentially, he set May 5th to go ahead and be the day that he goes ahead and gets this thing settled. He's supposed to go ahead and explain why he went ahead and did a quick hearing for 20 days. Well, Joyce sort of screws around, but she does find the little girl that Chris Luna's brother Basil molested. And this little girl, who now lives in Louisiana, she would go to Basil's parole hearings. Every time he came up for parole, and she would say, no, he's a predator, he's a parasite, he's this here, he molested me, don't turn him loose, and Basil stays in jail. And from what I gather, she was willing to write Joy an affidavit that not only, that actually Christopher was the main perpetrator, the main culprit. He was the main one. Basil was bad, but Christopher was even worse. And in addition, he continued to molest her even after he had pled guilty and gotten away as a juvenile for it. At the very last parole hearing, to where looks like old Basil's going to have to serve 85% of the sentence, the very last parole hearing, Christopher had gone ahead and says, hey, you liked it, didn't you? Well, this little girl went ahead and mailed off the affidavit yesterday, so it wasn't going to go ahead and be received. But in addition, there's another girl who Chris had stalked before he'd met Joy. And this girl wanted to go ahead and give out the police records and everything else. It happened in Emmett. And the police know all about old Christopher. But Joy was screwing around. So yesterday, I went ahead and said, you know what you need to do, don't you? Yeah. I said, well, then go do it. Well, she finally got her ass ready and go ahead and do it. But, she screwed around. In the meantime, here's her new boyfriend. John calls his daughter Henny Penny and calls the new one Cocky Locky. And essentially, from what I gather, he's a somewhat of a violent criminal. He went ahead and spent 6 years in jail, pretending to be Aryan Brotherhood. He's talking crap about me being a chomo and all this sort of thing, and about how tough he is. And essentially, John got all mad. And then he found out that Lorinda had given, John's wife had given Joy money, gas money, to take her little Chevrolet Cavalier down to Pocatello, but she didn't want John or Lorinda going along. Dad, you're an embarrassment to me. You just made me so embarrassed every time you open your mouth. Well, that pretty well annoyed John quite a bit. And so him and Joy had words, and she ran out in her car, and then she decided to come back because she left her computer. In the meantime, I drafted a motion. Essentially, new evidence. So I says, hey, as Joy, I'd wanted to share joint custody, but now that I find out this guy's an unrepentant parasite and a predator and a child molester, essentially, I don't feel that way anymore. What I want is I want the Child Protective Services, I want the authorities to do a thorough investigation of this matter. And to go ahead and let the chips fall where they may. If Chris goes to prison, then so let him go to prison here. But it would be far better for me. I don't want Chris to have custody of this child. And certainly I don't want, he's a danger not only to this child, he's a danger to this child's little friends because, hey, he's an unrepentant child molester. Well, went ahead and got drafted. Told her to go ahead and fax a copy to Legal Aid. We should be Legal Aid for battered women, not Legal Aid for chomos, for this Bradley Willis, and send a copy to the clerk of the court. and simply told John is that he needs to cut the apron strings and let Joy live with the results of what she did here. So the question was, would Joy get steamrolled? Well, what happens? John got a call, and yes, Joy let herself be steamrolled. The judge ranted and raved about how it was perfectly legal for him not to give her 20 full days, and how old Christopher ought to sue. I guess my name was actually mentioned. He ought to sue me, and he ought to go ahead and sue John Britton for libel and slander. And folks, he refused to go ahead and look at what Joy had to say. Refused to go ahead and look at what Joy had to say, but guess what? He has sealed the records. He don't want the public looking at this at all. He wants it sealed. And he's threatened Joy with, you go ahead and pursue this. I'm going to go ahead and come with criminal charges here, but how dare you say this about me or you? Well, folks, in Idaho, they have an elected judiciary. And, folks, if legal aid becomes known as Idaho Chomo Aid, well, guess what? Maybe they ought to shut down legal aid. If child molesters who batter their wives are going to go ahead and use it, they ought to call it Chomo Aid and figure out whether the taxpayers want to go ahead and pay for it. Now, folks, Idaho is a politically correct state to where women get to go ahead and do whatever they want, but not if you're a woman who is associated with, quote, Aryan nations. So Joy went ahead and made a quick call, and I don't know, she might go to Nebraska to go ahead and see Cocky Locky, who's working in stripper pits here. And I talked to Cocky Locky, and he was telling stupid crap about how we need to get a new judge. He's buddy-buddies with the current judge. I said, no, you do better with the judge who's screwed up. But folks, this judge is a crook. Essentially what it boils down to is that here in this country, if you are deemed to be against Zog, well, hey, child molesters have a better chance. Convicted child molesters have a better chance. And let me just go ahead and explain what Zog is scared of. Zog is so scared that essentially it looks upon people like Osama bin Laden, who really are not a threat. I mean, Osama bin Laden has actually, I think, won the war. There was somebody, and Paul Craig Roberts, who pretty well wrote, is that essentially the Afghan war has to be discontinued because it's no longer being able to be paid for. Nobody's able to pay for this Afghan war. The Chinese aren't going to loan any more money for this stupid war to continue. And it's not going to continue. In any case, getting on with it. Let me see. Getting on with it. Went ahead and looked at the chat here. In any case, I don't know what happened to Bill Riccio. I've heard the name. I'm not quite sure it is. But getting on with it, Zog is scared of anybody who threatens to put a spoke in what is going on. Now, folks, Zog isn't going to get its way. Zog is falling apart. We went ahead and talked about how it's idiotic to blow up a levee in Missouri and flood, 130,000 acres so that, 20,000 niggers in Cairo, shouldn't get their necks wet. You know what I mean? Should live in their little shitholes. I mean, what is that? That was that 50 or 100 acres per nigger? I mean, what is the sense to that? What is the sense to that? And the answer is no sense to it. None whatsoever. But essentially, Uyghurs are being screwed. And today, Uyghurs went ahead and voted to send an innocent man to prison for the rest of his life, 30 years. Edgar Steele ain't going to make it 30 years. And just like today, a crooked judge and a crooked lawyer got their little heads together to go ahead and give a child to a convicted child molester because, guess what? Little girl is associated with Aryan nations. Well, folks, one of the things I had her write is that I pretty well made a break with my dad. I'm not Aryan Nations, never was. Essentially, this judge went ahead and threatened her. So I told John, I said, wait till Monday before you give her a call again. Wait for her to go ahead and have her little delights with Cocky Rocky. Went ahead and compared it to my stepdaughter, Fat Ass Emily, who essentially gave up her children and decided to go ahead and take to the road and start a whoring. That's exactly what Emily does. So, folks, do I worry about this sort of thing? What happens to Emily? Answer is no. And same way with you, John. She could have gone ahead and ended this way back in December 2009. But instead, what happened? She allowed little Cocky Locky, or not Cocky Locky, but she allowed her monster, child molester, piece of shit, Chris, to go ahead and essentially run wild. Even though the evidence is that, yes, he's a child molester, and yes, an unrepentant child molester, and yes, he's a stalker and a batterer and all that here. But guess what? Today, why, essentially the biggest sin you could commit isn't going ahead and being a parasite or being a predator. In fact, if you're a parasite or a predator, Zog wants to support you. It's if you're somebody who might go ahead and stand against Zog and its efforts to exterminate the white race, actually, the Israelite race, then you are an evil person, by definition. Now, in the case of Osama bin Laden, he was simply out to do nothing more than drive the Americans out of the Holy Land and to go ahead and reset and, you know, essentially set up a caliphate from Indonesia to Gibraltar. Now, folks, from what I gather, he was of a rather austere Wahhabiist Sunni sect, and he would not get along very well with the Iranians or with the Shiites, who are becoming, or the minority, which are becoming the majority. But essentially, what Osama bin Laden said is he would bankrupt Zog, and essentially he has. I was reading this character named Clark, yapping about intelligence failures and all sort of thing here. Folks, $80 billion or more is spent on, quote, intelligence. And all it boils down to is just going ahead and taking pictures, mainly, through satellite. That's what the majority of it is. And essentially, looking down, a car or a truck or somebody walking around, you have no idea what's in their minds, what they intend to do. But folks, the Zogling sticks out. He believes in Zog. He believes in imperialism. Well, guess what? Most of the world does not anymore, do they? So, well, Bruce Gorman, I don't know. I mean, I call him Bruce Gormanzer. I mean, I don't know if he's a Jew or not, but, you know, he's a big supporter of Mike the Kike Delaney and Sword Mamser and the rest here. We're getting on with it. In any case, getting on with it here. Yeah. Do I support Jet and John? The answer is, Jet and John pretty well do their thing, and I do mine. I don't give a hard time for Jet and John. They don't go ahead and give me a hard time here. Bruce Gormanzer, he's a Santa Claus of fake DSCI, more like here. In any case, getting on with it, you have, you end up having to wear, you know, pretty well, I stayed up a lot of the night, and then John calls me, essentially want to know what to do about his wayward daughter. And I simply said, it is time to cut the apron strings. Now, Monday, you should go ahead and give her a call to find out if he wants to go ahead and avoid being steamrolled, because that judge did violate the law. He did commit something, you know, wrong. And the reason he wants the records to be sealed is that essentially it don't look good for an elected judge to say, hey, I am supporting convicted child molesters who are not repentant over little bitty girls whose daddies might or might not be in the Aryan Nations. Essentially, I support parasites. I support child molesters. And essentially let him go ahead and explain to his Mormon family what is going on here. Let this old Bradley Willis explain what is going on here. Folks, I'm not scared of being sued. I'm not scared of, you know, essentially what matters to me is whether or not what I say is true or not. If it's not true, I don't say it. And if I'm not quite sure it's altogether true, I will go ahead and give that caveat. Now, within this movement, I have pretty well told about the fakes and the flakes and the idiots and the boobs and the idiots without fear or favor. But one thing I'm thinking of is, you know, it'd be up to John Britton. It would be up to Joy is filing a federal lawsuit and getting this matter out of the courts here. But come Monday, she has 14 days to file a notice of appeal and bring it up the appellate process and essentially get it out. Even though they sealed the records, essentially the judge will have to defend his decision. But for now, I don't think they're even going ahead and giving them. They're not even going to go ahead and give her the records of this final decision. And the thing about it is that these people do need to be exposed for what they are. But folks, it's not education that's going to go ahead and save Uyghurs. Nothing should save Uyghurs. Uyghurs need to die. This current social order needs to fall apart. And it is falling apart. It is very much falling apart. Financially, there's no hope. All they're doing is kicking the can down the road, and the end of the road is getting closer and closer and closer. The end of the road is getting closer and closer and closer to where it's no longer way back there, way over there, not there at all. In fact, the can is very, very, very close indeed. So, in any case, that's what I told John. But in many cases, John, I mean, essentially, you and your daughter bitching at you about how she's so embarrassed by you showing up. And, oh, how we ought to go ahead and get an expensive lawyer, throw money at it. Well, guess what? If you're trying to scam a Mormon elder of $2,500, that's not a way to go ahead and get a lawyer. You know what I mean? Let's see. Yeah, I'm looking about the Nimbusters here. Folks, the Nimbusters, I mean, I haven't been on the Nimbusters for a while. I do need to go ahead and get these shows on the road. I really do. So, let me go ahead. And I've been talking for 29 minutes. I've been talking about John Britton's problem here. But folks, the reason I went ahead and brought up John Britton's problems is that in today's Zog, essentially, they support child molesters, they support perverts, they support criminals over innocent little stupid little girls. Because guess what? Because of who those girls' fathers are. And see, folks, it's not a matter of innocence. Do you think that they care that Joy, you know, Joy really is not a very fit parent either. You know what I mean? You know, pretty well, I had her dropped up as a, for now, we're not asking for any more supporting of one side or the other. We're asking the authorities to go ahead and investigate. And we thought the judge would go ahead and go along with that because guess what? The judge had already committed essentially a violation of the law. The judges are supposed to uphold the law, not uphold their particular, beliefs or, vices or whatever. And folks, I'm not scared about this judge sealing the record. I mean, I'm the one who went ahead and wrote up most of the motions. I'm not scared of being sued by Christopher Luna. It has to be a federal lawsuit, and essentially, guess what? This affidavit by this little girl is going to go ahead and be understood. Now, when it goes ahead and gets, I'll just go ahead and ask John to ask Joy if he can go ahead and open up that affidavit. But essentially, this matter needs to be brought out in the open. But folks, that's exactly what they're trying to seal. They're trying to go ahead and hide what actually happened. They're trying to hide whether or not they actually did kill Bin Laden. They're trying to hide whether or not they did this or that. I'm listening to these little retards talking about how in the era of Photoshop, a picture doesn't mean anything. And the answer is no, it doesn't. But what it boils down to is what you believe depends on what side you're at, what side you're on. It depends on whether what the truth of the matter is. So in the next segment, I'm going to go ahead and cover Osama bin Laden, a.k.a. Osama bin Subcontractor.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round the bonnie flag, will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
Okay, folks, this is, I think, the fifth episode, or the fifth section in this episode of the Movement Turd, 68.5. And it's about, 6 minutes to 11 o'clock Central Time on May 5th. And we're going to go ahead and cover Osama bin Subcontractor. That's what Tom Chittum used to call him. And I've called him that as well. Essentially, Osama bin Laden used to be a little subcontractor for the CIA effort to kick the Russians out of Afghanistan by using weapons provided by Zog and the people to go in and fight Zog. So it says that according to what they found out, that Al-Qaeda considered attacking U.S. trains on the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. According to an initial look at DVDs, computers, and other documents seized on the raid on Osama bin Laden's home. But they say they have no recent intelligence showing that it's possible here. So, folks, it's active. So, folks, how do you know it's even true? How do you even know that they did kill Osama bin Laden? Now, somebody went ahead and pointed out that here in America, if you go ahead and bag a deer, why the retards will not only go ahead and take pictures of it if it's fairly big, but they will... they'll go ahead and strap to the hood of their SUV or the top, the roof or whatever, so that everybody can go ahead and see that he got himself a deer. Why didn't they do with that with Osama bin Laden? And don't give me this crap about, oh, how it's a Muslim tradition. Essentially, the Muslim clerics have pointed out that the only way that burial at sea is permitted is if you're on a long ocean voyage, way, way, way far away from land. It doesn't say anything about killing somebody on land and then burying them at sea real quick. So, folks, that's altogether a lie. You have no idea what they did with Osama bin Laden, even if it was Osama bin Laden. It might have been somebody else. You don't even know if somebody actually got killed. It's just like earlier, I'd gone ahead and told about how poor old Roy, my German Shepherd dog, got beat for me killing my dad's second best Rhode Island, you know, not Rhode Island, but brown legger and rooster. Folks, whatever Zog says, it's usually a lie. It's not altogether the truth. And I don't even see why you have all these idiots going ahead and making a big deal when 9/11 was a fraud, just like Oklahoma City. Essentially, they knew, the Jews knew, Zog knew, that these Muslims were going to try to take over aircraft and fly them into buildings or something like that. Zog knew full well that it was going to happen, just like in Oklahoma City. They knew Timothy Day was coming, and, you know, they had spies in Elohim City. They had Bob Millar spying, telling them. They had Carol Howe, who was screwing Dennis Mahan, telling them. They had Timothy McVeigh bragging about it, about how he would become famous, he would become known. I'm Timothy McVeigh, and you will hear my of my name. You had Timothy McVeigh doing everything possible to be caught. You had him detonating a bomb, you know, a so-called bomb, a trick bomb, which probably wasn't even made by McVeigh, but was rather made by Zog, to go ahead and justify blowing out the support columns under a nursery so they could go ahead and worry about the children. Oh! And folks, it's just like a couple years ago, I'd gone ahead and I was reading David Duke's My Awakening book. And there was a stupid bitch in Lebanon, Missouri, where we went, me and Roxy ate on the way back from someplace up there. And essentially, she was whining all about the poor children who were killed in Oklahoma City. I said, well, did you cry for the ones who were killed at Waco? No, no, no. David Koresh was a bad man. His children deserved whatever they got. Oh? Just want to show you, you don't have any problem with the killing of children. You just believe just like Zog. You know, just like Zog. You don't have a problem with, you know, with torture. You just have a problem with who should be tortured. Just sort of like, supposedly, they got through torture the name of this courier, and that's how they traced bin Laden. Now, the Pakistanis, they're sort of embarrassed, and part of the reason they're embarrassed is that they're so easy to supposedly kill Osama bin Laden. How are they going to go ahead and fare if the United States or India tries to take away their nuclear weapons? Are these Pakistani? Oh, are these Pakistani armed forces able to defend their interests? And the answer is no. There's some belief that essentially it's been understood that the Afghan war has to wind down because there's not the money to pay for it anymore. There's not money to go ahead and rebuild Afghanistan given that infrastructure in the United States is falling apart. There's not money to go ahead and continue this foreign adventure in Iraq, in Afghanistan. So, guess what? Now that supposedly Osama bin Laden is dead, we went to Afghanistan to go ahead and hunt him down and kill him, and we killed him in Pakistan? What's the reason for being in Afghanistan anymore? Now that Al-Qaeda has been divided into lone wolves and cells, what's the reason for being in Afghanistan anymore? Paul Craig Roberts says, well, hey, there is no reason for being there. That's why they announced that they killed Osama bin Laden. Now we can go ahead and declare victory and we can all go home. So, anyway, they said they would try to tip a train by tampering with the rails so the train would fall off the track either a valley or on a bridge. But, you know, such tampering with the rails would be spotted. Folks, there's a little, you know, the railway system in many ways is not in very good shape. And as a result, what they have is they have a little current run through the thing, so if you end up taking out the rail, it gets spotted in advance. And the sensor warns the engine that, guess what? This rail is no longer joined together. Now, maybe what you could do is figure out a way to cut off a portion of a rail or something like that, keep it intact, but get to where it would tip over. In which case, you would end up having a lot of running around. If you actually had some people who knew how to go ahead and attack strategic targets, Zog would be screwed up. But essentially, they come up with this little plot. You have no idea. You have no idea whether it's true or not. None. You see, folks, how do you differentiate between a, quote, terrorist plot and the fact that simply a bridge which has not been maintained or kept up finally decides to collapse? So like that one did across north of Minneapolis on I-35. How do you go ahead and determine that it's a, quote, terrorist attack as opposed to simply the fact that all this infrastructure is 40, 50, 60, 70, in the case of water lines, 100 years old, these sewer lines, everything else here. And now, since niggers have taken over, live there, there's no tax money to take care of it. I mean, folks, the Luftwaffe. They was told about the Luftwaffe would send super bombers to the bomb our industrial base here during World War II. Well, folks, if you look what happened in Detroit, the Luftwaffe didn't have anything to do with it. It was niggers who destroyed Detroit. So how do you go ahead and tell the difference between simply things just falling apart and then have an fanciful claim that Osama bin Laden has something to do with it? The answer is you can't. I mean, is it a worse thing here that supposedly Osama bin Laden loosens up a track rail as opposed to just simply same thing happening because, guess what, the railroad ties are all rotted out? What's the difference, folks? What is the difference? And the answer is that, well, there really isn't. Does it really matter? And the answer is no, it doesn't. Folks, 9/11 was altogether something made up. I'm convinced that, you know, I mean, you don't need to go ahead and look at Mike the Kike Delaney as little, what, missing links or whatever the hell he calls it, to understand that 9/11 was a Zog false prop. The entire thing was to make this idiot, Bushy, who had stolen the election, look like a wonderful president, give him a second term, so that the Republicans could go ahead and loot the manufacturing base of America and ship all the jobs overseas. And folks, now you find to where Whiggers have lost their jobs. In fact, Whigger males, 40, 50, close to retirement age, they're the ones who are losing their jobs the most. Between nigger male teenagers and Whiggers who no longer have jobs, they're the ones who this recession is falling on the hardest, not upon beaner lettuce pickers or fruit pickers or whatever. John Britton, a couple years ago in the summer, seen his very first Whiggers in Winnebagoes picking fruit in Washington when he was spraying there. So, anyway, getting on with it. Oh, okay. He embarked from, South Bend. Well, good for Visser. I mean, by the way, nobody is posting hardly anything over at, Pisser's Pussy Parlor, a.k.a. 1.5 Mamsers. Nobody's posted for 2 days over on 2.5 Mamsers. So, by the way, Brian Reed posted quite a bit last Sunday. He had 2 shows. But getting on with it. Folks, Osama bin Laden. I mean, I don't see why people are gloating about Osama bin Laden. Essentially, he's not really the one really responsible for 9/11. Any more than Timothy McVeigh was responsible for Oklahoma City. He was just somebody who was used to do what Zog wanted them to do. Have a new war. Declare war on their precious constipation bill of goods. And the constipation bill of goods is altogether a fraud, too. Altogether a fraud, folks. Don't mean jack shit. Altogether a fraud, just like Edgar Steele's trial. Don't mean anything. They're going to go ahead and convict them. And Sunday I predicted that Edgar Steele would either be found guilty, that it would go ahead and be wrapped up Tuesday or Wednesday, and that the verdict would be, Wednesday or Thursday. Well, then I predicted it would be Wednesday. I predicted that the odds were very good that Edgar Steele would be convicted. But, surprise, surprise, surprise here. Yep. And, in any case, I would go ahead. I also, someone was talking about this earlier, about Gomer Pyle. Surprise, 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 Sergeant Carter. Reminds me of this Gomer Pyle joke. Gomer asked his little girlfriend, Luann, May I put my finger in your belly button? Well, okay, Gomer. Gomer, that is not my belly button. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Take my finger, neighbor. Take my finger, neighbor. And folks, I mean, all this crap, all these lies about Osama bin Laden, about Edgar Steele, about how things are going well and how the economy is just around the corner. Folks, altogether lies. Does anybody know what the truth is? And the answer, just like Pontius Pilate, what is the truth? Well, folks, you won't know what the hell the truth is if you listen to Zog. You're not going to get the truth from Zog. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. What the hell was that story about the crazy bastard with tiny penis in the nut house? He was a nutcase, and his father and his brothers were judges and lawyers. And essentially, they didn't want to go ahead and spend a whole bunch of money putting their nutty son and brother in a nut house, so they went ahead and trumped up charges for some little thing. I think it was actually that they accused them of what, barnyard sodomy, of having sexual intercourse with a horse or something like that. Essentially, they went ahead and sent him to the nut house and had the state government take care of keeping a poor old nut there. But anyway, he's shaped like a pear, but every so often he would get super nut strength, and he would pick up an 80-pound chair and swing it like it was a plastic garden chair. First night, he was on Ward B-11. He swung this big old bulky chair against this plexiglass window and went, whoom, whoom, whoom. And every so often, he'd get in a little snit. He refused to take his medications. He'd swing these chairs around, and he really did need to be drugged. I mean, he would refuse to take his medications, and every so often, one of his favorite little tricks was running around naked. He would streak around, and essentially, he was shaped like a pear, and his penis only looked like it was half inch at that long. You know what I mean? Shortest wiggered penis ever here. I mean, I would laugh. I thought it was hilarious here, seeing the nuts. And occasionally, he would occasionally get pissed off and refuse to take his dope. And one time he actually, struck a staffer. And the staffer was an asshole who had it coming anyway. But in any case, he was just a nutcase here. Shortest wiggered penis ever. I mean, he would take it into his mind to swing that. But, he'd go ahead and take his mind to streaking here. But what surprised me was that here he was swinging this 80-pound chair, which was bulky as hell. He was swinging around like it was a lawn chair. He was shaped like a pear. Little bitty, medium-sized guy shaped like a pear. And how the hell was he able to do that? I mean, I'm 6'2". And I'm not able to swing an 80-pound, a wooden and fabric chair like it's a lawn chair. How the hell was he able to do it? And the answer is that for some reason he had what I call super nut strength. So I've seen things in the nut house that were so strange here. They're believable because you can't make this crap up here. Can't make this crap up. Okay? Well, he didn't break his back. He swung that chair, 80-pound chair, bulky as hell. He shouldn't have been able to do it, but he did it. How the hell could he do that here? You know what I mean? Well, it's a dangerous place. It is a dangerous place. You have to keep your eyes. If you want to go nuts, the nut house is a good place to do it, but, it's not safe to, especially if you're safe and, if you're white here. I mean, Biggs is 60% nigger. And essentially, I never see any insane nigger, white collar criminal. Joey, their idea is getting all hopped up on drugs here and doing something weird, or like one of my nigger roommates over at Gruman, he went ahead and, of course, he sodomized his nigglet niece, 8 or 9 years old, and they killed her to keep her from telling. And what got him sent to the nut house was that he went ahead and he ate a few pieces of raw schniqua here from her little private parts here. They sodomized just a little bit ago. And that's what went ahead and sent him to the nut house. Wasn't the sodomy, wasn't the murder, it was the raw private part smunching here from Lil Sneakwear, whatever the hell her name was. And he wasn't that bad a roommate. He would go ahead and rub himself down with Vaseline for the night, and he insisted on having the light on, because if he didn't have the light on, he'd think Lil Sneakwear would rise from the dead and haunt his ass here. So he insists I have the light on. Well, that suited me just fine because I could go ahead and stay up all night reading. And then when I wanted to go to sleep, I just put my bandana over my eyes and just roll over and, you know, fall asleep when I was tired. So, hey, I like that just fine here. I mean, you know, he was sort of a crazy nigger, but actually, just like most niggers, I mean, you know, he was actually a fairly nice nigger. I mean, he usually wasn't violent, except he was violent that one time. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you have these people here. Well, no, I mean, I don't know how big that nigger's dick was. You know what I mean? What can I get an Aryan Nation's emblems to wear around my neck? I don't know. I wouldn't wear them around my neck. Why would you want to wear Aryan Nation, not, you know, emblems around your neck, folks? In any case, anyway, no, I mean, I never had him as a roommate. I mean, essentially, he was there at Biggs all the time. You know, I went ahead and ended up being sent, you know, sent back and then being brought back. I need to go ahead and bring up my trial, you know, my trial things here. I mean, it's getting up on the anniversary of my May 10th, you know, false arrest here, and I need to go ahead and bring up my little, you know, my little court records here. So, well, I go ahead and make fun of them here. I mean, I bet old Brian Reel's little, you know, little faggot lady stick is, essentially, he's not built like a nigger in that department. He's probably built more like the Duke or the Beaner, he looks like. But getting on with it, where was I? Folks, why do you believe anything that Zog or Zog Media has to say about Osama bin Laden? I've gone ahead and looked from back in 1998 when Osama bin Laden was interviewed, and essentially he told people that America, Zoglings need to elect an actual government that has their interests at heart. Not the Jews' interests at heart, not the big old oil-thieving pigs at heart, but has actually their business at heart so that they will not interfere with Muslim traditions or Muslim holy lands or anything like that here. And folks, the Holy Land is now the unholy land because the Jews had Christ murdered there. And Yahweh gave it to the Arabs. Now the Arabs are, Arab used to mean mixture, just like mulatto and just like mestizo. I mean, the Arabs, way back then, some of them, like the Midianites, were descended from Abraham. They were a white people. Way back when, some of them were descended from Ishmael. They were a white people, but they're not anymore. I mean, Osama bin Laden is actually descended from some of these Yemenis here. And he ends up looking like he has a big old hooked nose, like, you know, big old nose like a Jew. And in many cases, he does not look like a white man. He looks like a sun nigger, a doom coon. Now, folks, I'm not going to say anything merely mean about Osama bin Laden because, essentially, I think he's, in many cases, been made a boogeyman when he shouldn't have been made a boogeyman. You got to wonder, if he needed dialysis, how long, how did he manage to survive? You don't know when he died. You don't know who the hell was killed there. Yeah, I mean, essentially, what you believe depends on what side you're on. You have all these Zogling wiggers who choose to believe Zog. Well, yeah, he worked for Zog. I call him Osama bin Subcontractor. That's what Thomas Chittum called him first here. Essentially, he was a subcontractor for the CIA to go ahead and fight against the Russians in Afghanistan. That's exactly what the hell he was. So, folks, why in the world do you believe Zog lies? Why do you believe whatever Zog says? Now, do I have anything or any truth to put in place of it? And the answer is really no. But 9/11 was a Zog false front, false front operation. Just like you end up having Zog false front operations like Voice of Retards, Four Fag Thieves, VNNF, Sperm Front, and the rest here. They're all false fronts, just like Hal Turner's you know, nonsense. All dog false fronts. So what do you have to put in place of it, Martin? The answer is really nothing, other than things are falling apart more and more and more. And as a result, what we need is we need a racial religion. A racial religion which tells us what to do. And what the racial religion tells us is that essentially the biggest enemy of the white race is not Jews, not non-whites, but actually Uyghurs. Uyghurs determined to die. Uyghurs determined to take their fellow Uyghurs with them. Folks, we have a Uyghur problem. That's exactly what the hell we have. And that's why we're falling apart. Now, things are falling apart. What you need to do in a personal level is make sure you have enough food. Make sure you have enough bullets, beans, and bandages. And you need to keep it quiet to yourself. Other than, and on the other hand, you also need to go ahead and find farmers. You need to go ahead and find your people that you can go ahead and trust, that so that when things do fall apart, you will be able to go ahead and, you know, help defend yourself. Because, folks, you do not want to be a refugee, you know, in a mud flood, but also you don't want to be among a bunch of thieving Uyghurs who have not taken precautions to fend for themselves, who have not gone ahead and kept things up. Now, last couple weeks, I've been canning food, canning some turkeys that I bought for 79 cents a pound. I've been, working on my garden. I've been, doing a number of things, and that sort of kept me from keeping up the movement turd, but yes, I do need to go ahead and get it up here. But, well, Missouri has some cheap land. It's not as cheap as what it used to be. That's not what it used to be. Folks, I imagine if you went ahead and moved to places like Nebraska, you moved to places like, North or South Dakota, it's just like this family from, Tampa, who moved up to North Dakota, got a free house, moved back after, 6 months, because they couldn't stand the winter. They left the free house behind. Family of children. Now, I don't know, I think they looked a little bit swarthy to me, but folks, you have a lot of places here which are pretty well just going belly up, and there's no way to go ahead and replace them. Folks, agricultural land, and that's why a lot of these farmers in Missouri are pissed off to where you have these dikes being blown up. A good-sized farm is like a good-sized factory. It takes knowledge. It takes people who know what they're doing in order to run them efficiently and effectively. And these corporate, these big agribusiness things here, they are losing the ability and knowledge to run their big old factories, their big old farms, efficiently. And that's what has annoyed those farmers who had that bottom land, which has been flooded out, and which, where they had a perfectly functioning levee run by white people to keep the Mississippi out. Essentially, they blew that levee out and flooded 130,000 acres in order to go ahead and save about 20,000 niggers in Cairo, which is a declining town. Essentially, everything that's being run by whites is declining. Now, I've been thinking of Harold Covington's Great Northwest plan. And some of it does make sense here. I mean, I was just sort of thinking, is that the eastern Washington, Oregon, is just like the high plains of northern Oklahoma and southern Kansas. it's just sort of, you know, just sort of high plains. And John Britton was, you know, Pastor John Britton was telling me is that they called it the Palouse, which was an Indian word for, well, high plains is what it was. It was the Indian word for high plains or something like that here, because that's what it is here. And I would probably be more comfortable with that than with the wetness here. But John Britton was explaining to me that around this valley, which used to be run by Mormons, he had a bunch of tomatoes die here. Well, it used to be when Mormons used to run all these orchards, what they would do is that they would have smudge pots. And pretty well every single orchard owner would set out these smudge pots. And what these smudge pots would do is in this particular valley in which he lives, a valley which is around the Snake and, what do they call it, the Snake and another, three rivers. And essentially what happens is smudge pots would raise the temperature above freezing so that these cherry orchards, these apple orchards, these peach orchards or whatever would not freeze due to a frost here. And John was saying that, some of these farmers are saying, well, it never used to frost at this time of year here. Well, guess what? You have all these California refugees, and they're the ones who went ahead and convicted Edgar Steele in Boise. You have all these stupid California refugees who have moved to a place which is sort of like California, but a bit colder. But now it's gotten a good deal colder because guess what? You no longer have all these orchards. You've had these things sold into to California refugees who want to go ahead and put up grapes and tear out the orchards. Okay? And do we support white rule over Palestine? No. I mean, it's the unholy land. Okay, there's no Christian identity nation in Palestine. I mean, you just have a bunch of Mamzers. But why give it to these dirty Jews? They're Hittite Jews. They're Canaanite Jews. The Hittites were Canaanites, but actually they didn't live in Canaan. Some were driven out by Joshua. Some of them actually lived in central Turkey, where they had iron weapons. That was where the head of the Hittite Empire was, which pretty well declined at the beginning of the Greek Dark Age in about 1200 B.C. That's when you end up having these sea people, these white people, these Philistines, these Bedouins, who were known as sea peoples and who got defeated by Ramses III. You had a Greek Dark Age, which lasted from 1200 to around 800 when you had Homer telling them about the glories of the Mycenae Empire, of Agamemnon and Hector and Troy and all sorts of things here like that, okay? So getting on with it, you have Mamzers all over the place. You have Mamzers all over the place here. But getting on with it, in Idaho, some of these Mormon valleys, which used to be, dedicated to Mormon agriculture and orchards and all this sort of thing, it's changing because these Californian refugees have come up there and they have interfered with the old ways of doing things. You used to have a change in these valleys due to these smudge pots. These smudge pots would go ahead and just bring it just above freezing, so that their orchards would be safe, their orchards full of blossoms, their orchards full of ripening fruit, growing fruit. Well, mainly blossoms or something like that. And essentially, John Britt will say is that thanks to essentially California refugees with their grapevines taking over the Mormons and their orchards, you now have frosts which are still coming as late as May, when they used to go ahead and essentially be able to have, thanks to smudge pots, essentially have it end just like it does in Missouri about, the second week of April. And that's what you end up having. Okay? So, yeah, someone went ahead and made a link to smudge pots here. See, what happens is that all of Zog is changing. The old ways of farmers taking care of the land is pretty well dying out. All you end up having is third world refugees, Mexicans who know how to pick, who know how to go ahead and pick the fruit, but don't know how to grow it, don't know how to take care of it. You end up having less and less helicopter spraying. You have a lot less crop dusting. And that was one thing I was talking with, is over in Germany, you're impressed with how intensively the land is cultivated and taken care of. There's no brush piles like there is in Missouri. There's no, I mean, essentially all the forests are just like parks. And, here in the rest of the country, folks, essentially what they're doing is that due to a water shortage, they have gone ahead and decimated California agriculture by 50%. Now, does that not mean that what you can do is that the rest of this country can go ahead and take care of vegetables or tomatoes or sweet corn or what have you? And the answer is sure they can. But essentially what you have is you have less and less white farmers managing this stuff here. And folks, a large family farm takes as much ability to go ahead and run. It takes as much education to run as does a mid-level factory. It's not just a matter of plant. It's not just a matter of going ahead and bringing in, you know, workers. You see, your Chinese-made stuff, be it machine tools or something else here, in many cases, especially if it involves machinery, is not done adequately. Not done right at all. John Britt was telling about a couple years ago to where they lost the masters for this helicopter part, and they had to dig this old German tool and die maker out and pay him quite a bit of money to go ahead and redo, you know, this particular master part that was needed for this helicopter. And the Chinese, even though that they have gone ahead and taken over with machine tools, they don't know how to go ahead and run it. So in many cases, it's still Chinese-made junk. Now, folks, in the case of electronics, it has changed here. But folks, going ahead and talking about high-tech jobs is altogether a waste of time. Because, folks, there is no high-tech jobs if you don't no longer have software support. You no longer have actual software engineers, and it's actually done in India, or it's done in China, or it's done somewhere else. Folks, we end up having, someone's talking that of all places, ABC News, you know, Ashkenazi Broadcasting Corporation, pink slip 25% of its workers. And here are all these former liberal figures who are doing real good, and essentially they're falling apart. Now, is this news network going to be taken over by bloggers? And the answer is no. 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 Not going to happen at all here. So, in many cases, about the Chinese stealing this technology, yeah. But folks, maybe we have the very end of our technology coming right now. There's not going to be any more ends because guess what? You end up not having white people trained to go ahead and fix their own machines, not trained to go ahead and create their own new factories or something like that here. And folks, there cannot be any change as long as we end up having, essentially we're taking care of more and more Mamsers to the detriment of even having our own families. Folks, my grandchildren were stolen 7 years ago, a little bit over 7 years ago, 7 years, a couple months ago. And on the May 10th, I'll quote, celebrate the anniversary of 6 years anniversary of me being locked up. I had three and a half years taken out of my life where they were trying to go ahead and do to me what they are doing to Matt Hale, what they're doing to Edgar Steele. And folks, there's no sense in even believing that we can have peace. The only way we can have peace is if we are victorious. And we can only be victorious if we go ahead and understand we have to steel our hearts and let happen what's going to happen. Folks, it's perfectly possible through civil war to go ahead and make sure that the Uyghurs, who are traitors, go ahead and die as a result of their own stupidity. That the police and the crooked judges and the crooked lawyers who are sucking away the lifeblood to where there is nothing left, that they die as a result of their own corruption. Folks, Paul Pot had a point. He got to where he shot anybody who had a pair of eyeglasses because he looked at a farmer, a producer, doesn't need a pair of eyeglasses. An intellectual is just nothing more than a parasite, someone who supports parasites. And so he had pretty well about half the population shot or starved to death. And that's what even more needs to happen in this country. You end up needing to have 90% of the Uyghurs die in the Civil War. And you need to have all the Muslims and Jews die in the Civil War. And folks, if you don't have the heart to be cruel, you're not going to make it. It's going to be hard enough to make it here as it is. I need to go ahead and look up that verse to where it said that if Noah, Moses, and Elijah were alive today, they would only save themselves. Not their wives, not their children, only themselves. And folks, by all means, try to bring in those who you love. Try to go ahead and save them. But folks, in some cases, just like with John Britton's daughter Joy, some of these people are too far gone to even bother to save. Folks, what happened to Edgar Steele? It was wrong. But was it unexpected? And the answer is no. I mean, I was still looking for a bright hope. But folks, the very best thing I could see was that Edgar Steele would go ahead and manage to convince these Uyghurs that yes, he was innocent. But even still then, I knew that the government had a ringer on the jury to say, hey, no. Just like Hal Turner. Hal Turner had three trials. First two, majority, wanted to vote him innocent. But the government had a ringer, had a crook in the jury, and they found him hopelessly deadlocked, which meant the ringer was trying to go ahead and find him guilty, and there was nothing that could be said to let him off. And then the third time, he ended up having a jury of niggers and beaners and all this sort of thing in Jersey City, and he got found guilty. You know what I mean? Juries are fixed. What do you mean can be fixed? They are fixed. Every family has a Uyghur in it. A race mixer, an idiot, a traitor, a greedster. In any case, folks, I need to go ahead and bring this to an end. I want to go ahead and cover Edgar Steele. I want to cover Osama bin Laden. I want to cover John Britton's problems. And, folks, I'll try to go ahead and get this up real early and get these things fixed here. So every family has a problem here. And folks, you're the one who knows who the Uyghurs are. You're the one who knows who the Uyghurs are. And you're the ones who's going to have to go ahead and take care of it. So, if you cannot take care of your Uyghurs, and you don't want to take care of your Uyghurs, that at least rely on the Great Tribulation to take care of your problems. But folks, most of you are going to have to take care of your problems yourself. So, I think I'm going to go ahead and at least bring this segment to an end and probably the whole show. So, until Sunday, Sunday at about 8 or 9 o'clock, until then, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, our Mr. T. Roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the four and a half dogs, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corner blocks, let red blood flow. Four white men, their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Sogling neck we stomp our boots to stamp out Gaffo. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the court of bronze, let red blood flow. The regime must only love is great, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corner blocks, let red blood flow.